And talk about the names of Jesus and who he wants to be to us. It's a passage that I believe was read last night, and we're familiar with it. But it's a passage that identifies who he is and what he wants to be to us. Now, in the video we watched, it says, where the world knows it or not, God is in a wild pursuit of people he loves. And so as we think about this pursuit that God has a passion for us, many people don't understand it. They haven't heard about it, or they're resisting it. But God is in pursuit of us. And I want us to know this morning, God is in pursuit of you. Because you and I are the object of his affection and his proactive agape love. It's just who he is. And when we respond to that, life can go to another level. It can become better. It can be more influential. It can be more loving, more kind, because of who he is in us. And so today I want to look at the names of Jesus from Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. And as we explore these names, I want you to think of what he wants to be to you personally. God's gift to us through Christ, and the whole gathering and the whole time of being together today is to honor what God wants to be to us through Christ. So if you have a sermon listening guide, I'd like for you to read with me Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. Let's read this together. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. 600-700 years ago, before Jesus was born, Isaiah identified the names, some of the names, of which Christ would be called. And there's five here that I'd like to take a little deeper dive into: Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And I want us to get a glimpse of what the baby in the manger, it's called Christmas, and yet he grew up into being an adult and gave his life on the cross, what he wants to be to each of us this morning. So if you have your notes, let's get started. Number one, what he does for us is this. He creates a sense of awe in life. He creates a sense of awe. The word wonderful, the first title is this. It means very good, awesome, amazing, enjoyable, pleasant. We use that word a lot. We had a wonderful time together. It was a wonderful meal. Well, that's a really nice, that's a wonderful present. We use the word very generously. But a title given to Jesus himself is that he would be wonderful to us. And so when we look at the word wonderful, I want us to get the idea that he wants to create a sense of awe in your life. In the book of Acts, chapter 2, verse 43, let's read that together. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. The people lived in a state of awe. When God works in our lives and does for us that which we cannot do for ourselves, it will create an awe factor. We will have a sense of amazement, a sense of bewilderment, a sense of awesomeness of what he does. I thought about the awe factor, and I got just two or three stories. There are many. But you remember when Pauline, the owners of where she's staying, were going to sell her house. And she was just petrified that she's going to have to move. And so many people prayed for a long time, and a guy came along and bought the house, and he said, oh, you can just go ahead and stay there. Remember that? As some of you walked through, it was an awe moment in which we said, you know what, only God could do that. And the way it turned out, and there was an awe factor. Another thing was, you know, when the pavilion got put up, and it was a journey, and there were delays, and there was a struggle, and so forth, But when it came down to it, of erecting it, putting it up, I think, Kevin, it was done about 5 days, right? And there's times where in life where things just come together and there's a sense of awe that God just somehow settles into our life. I have one other personal story. When Pastor Jack's parents died, the decision he had to make was whether to sell the house or what to do with it in Augusta, Georgia. And he decided to sell it. And so various trips down there, contacts with a whole, well, different realtors, researching and who should list it and time and energy. I mean, it was a lot went into it. And so we're down there. Troy and Bonnie were down there that time. And a guy pulls up in a truck. And he's here to pick up a couple chairs that Jack was donating to somebody else. This guy didn't know. I've never met him before. He pulls up in his truck. The chairs get loaded into his trailer. He takes off, drives around the block, and he comes back. And he says to Jack, what are you going to do with the house? And Jack says, well, we're going to sell it. He was the guy that ended up buying the house. All the time and energy that went into trying to find realtors and talk and who would be the best person to go with, God sends someone unsuspectingly, unanticipated. He comes up and then he leaves. Then he comes back and says, I think I'll buy the house. There was an awe moment for us. Listen, your lives are filled with awe moments too. And Jesus wants us to live in a sense of awe in life. We get dulled, do we not? But when we live close to him, he will create wonders and signs that give us a sense of excitement about life. I don't know about you, but I'm at a stage in life where I want to live in that zone where he comes through and does stuff that I couldn't do myself. We can't do ourselves, but it's an awe moment. Live for those awe moments. Walk close to him. He's wonderful to us. Read with me Habakkuk 1:5 in your notes. Look at the nations and watch and be utterly amazed, for I'm going to do something in your days that you would not believe, even if you were told. So Habakkuk is saying this. When we walk in our faith walk and we look and we watch and lean into God's grace, he will amaze us. I hope in 2023 we can live a life of awe and amazement where God does things that only he could get the credit for and he would get the praise for. I think when the shepherds went to the baby Jesus when he was born that night, it was an awe moment. It's like, can you believe this? And so he's wonderful. He wants to be wonderful to your life, creating awe and amazement in all that we do. Here's a picture. I love it. You know, kids are great. An awe moment where it's like, really? And so just live for that. That's who Jesus Christ wants to be to each of us. All right. Number two. The second thing is he provides wisdom and guidance. Wisdom and guidance. And the word here we're going to lift out is counselor. Isaiah said he's wonderful and he's also a counselor. Standard definition of a counselor is this: a person trained to give guidance on personal, social, or psychological problems. We need advice and guidance and wisdom in life, do we not? Christ will be our own personal counselor. Read with me John 16:13 in your notes. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak of his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. And let's read the next one. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you and watch over you. You may be here today, and you're at an intersection where you're trying to figure out the next step in life. We all live there. We get there, and it's like, what do I do here? Listen, Jesus is meant to be a counselor to us through the power of the Holy Spirit. He'll give us wisdom and guidance if We get into his word and we ask him to direct our lives. I came across a story, or I heard about it. His name's Henry Ford, automaker. That's good, Justin, right? You'll like this. And one day his factory shut down. The generators just did not work. And so what Henry Ford did was he contacted an electrical genius, Charlie Steinmetz. And so Charlie Steinmetz came to the factory, and the other guys, the other repairmen, couldn't figure this out. So that's why Charlie got called in, and he was a genius electrical guy. So he comes in and he starts tinkering. And within a few hours, the factory was back up running where it should. When the switch got thrown, you know, the generators started to twirl and whirl, and so everything got going the way it should. Well, Charlie Steinmetz sent a bill to Henry Ford, and the bill was for $10,000. Now, that's a lot of money back then. And we find that Henry Ford, who was a little bit tight-fisted, he was pretty unhappy with the bill. And so we asked him about it, and Steinmetz replied this. He says, for tinkering with the generators, it was $10. For knowing where to tinker, it was $9,990. The Holy Spirit, Jesus himself, knows where to tinker in our lives. He knows how to get the generators going again. He knows how to give wisdom and insight and direction to where life isn't working. He's got that. And he wants to be a counselor, a tinkerer. He wants to help us in our journey and direct us through wisdom and guidance. And so here's a picture. You might find yourself somewhere on that post, advice, help, support, tips, assistance, guidance. What do you need this morning? You have a counselor that can give wisdom and guidance. He knows where to tinker. He knows how to get the generators going again in our life. Okay. Number one, he'll create a sense of awe. Number two, he provides wisdom and guidance as a counselor. Number three, the third thing I want us to understand, he controls the storms of life. He controls the storms of life. Now, the word mighty God is the third name listed in this text. And the words mighty God, the Hebrew El Gabor, means mighty God or strong or powerful one. Now, I want to kind of paint a picture in a couple ways of his mighty godness in our lives. Read with me Psalm 147, 4-5 in your notes. He determines the number of the stars and calls them each by name. Great is our Lord and mighty in power. His understanding has no limit. I want to talk about the stars first. We're talking about a mighty God here. And the scripture says he determines the number. He knows how many there are. And he calls each of them by name. Now, scientists today, there's different projections, estimates of how many stars are in the universe. But one says it's up to 200 billion stars in the Milky Way galaxy that we're a part of. 200 billion, that's a lot of names. But that's a mighty God who is on our side and is there to help us. Some say that there's over 170 billion galaxies. I mean, you talk about the strong, powerful, mighty godness of who we serve. I mean, he knows them by name. Listen, he knows our name too. And he says, I have a love for my people, and I've committed myself to them through a covenant love to make a difference in their life. Now, that's the big picture. I want to bring this down to the personal level. The mighty God controls the storms of our life. When we give ourselves to him, he can, in all the issues of our life, he'll do one of two things. He can change the circumstances of our life. Now, that's the fun way, when he just does it and life gets easy. But secondly, listen, he may not change the circumstances, but he'll change us as we go through the circumstances. And a mighty God controls that. So you're here today, and maybe you're like me. There's an area or areas in your life you've prayed for years that would change, and the same circumstance exists. It's still there. The tougher path is when God changes me as I walk through the circumstances. He's still a mighty God. Now, in the book of Mark, there's a story about Jesus and the disciples are on a boat, and Jesus is asleep, but there's a big storm that comes up, and the disciples become afraid. And let's read together those 39 to 41. It's in your notes. He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." Then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" They were terrified and asked each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." He was asleep on the boat, and the disciples woke him up. And here's what they said, aren't you concerned that we would drown? Don't you care about that? And he responds with this. He says, listen, he rebuked the wind. It became calm. And he says, why are you so afraid? Do you still not have any faith? There are times in life where God will change us and not the circumstance. But there came a point where he then changed the circumstance, the wind and the storm, and it became calm. Either way, the mighty God is in control of the storm when we give it to him. So you're here this morning. I don't know where you're at, but if you're like me, you're in one or two of those categories where God changed the circumstance or changed me. And if he says, okay, I'm going to change you through it, it's a harder path. But listen, he's a mighty God to us who knows the stars by name, and he knows your name, and we let him be God in our life. His name is called Wonderful. Create a sense of awe in life. His name is called Counselor. He gives wisdom and guidance. He knows where to tinker. Number three, he controls the storms. He's a mighty God in the skies, knowing all the stars by name, but he also knows the storms in our life and controls them as well. And here's a picture of Jesus on the boat calming the storm itself. Number four, the fourth name or the fourth thought is this. He is a refuge, a refuge. The word or the title here is Everlasting Father. And when you get a definition of an everlasting father, it's one who is lasting or enduring through all time. Bless you. Each person here has a biological father. Some dads are great. Others, maybe they didn't even know. Or perhaps it wasn't the kind of father we'd hoped for. And so we find that everybody has a biological father, but everybody has access to an everlasting father. Everybody. You know who he is? He is one that will endure and last forever. Read with me Deuteronomy 33:27. The eternal God is your refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. He will drive you, your enemy, before you, saying, destroy him. Book of Deuteronomy. God is referred to as having everlasting arms. He's an eternal God, and he's a place of refuge. If you're here today, Christmas morning, you're listening online, and maybe your father, biologically, was not everything you wanted him to be. Or maybe you didn't know him. Maybe it was short-lived. There's all kinds of circumstances. But I want us to grasp this. Jesus, born in a manger, one of his names was Everlasting Father. Is there anything more special than when you see a young child sitting on the lap of a father or a mother in which there's an embrace of the child just because of the love the parent has for the child? God is a refuge. And we can come to him and sit on his lap. And it says, underneath are the everlasting arms. It says, though my father and my mother forsake me, the Lord will receive me. Here's a key thought. The everlasting Father will always receive you when you come to him. Just go to him. Visualize yourself sitting on his lap, him embracing you. Underneath you are the everlasting arms. And it becomes a safe haven, a place of refuge. Here's a picture. And his name will be called Everlasting Father. If you're the person in the picture and you feel a void of that connection of earthly father or whatever it might be, know that above the earthly father, there's an everlasting father, a heavenly father, who will receive us and welcome us, and he will be our refuge. And finally, number five, the fifth title, the name that Jesus was given in this text is that he would be the Prince of Peace. So point number five is this. He is the source of peace itself. He's the Prince of Peace. I don't know about you, but I want to have peace in my life with the chaos going on in the world. In your notes, it says the Prince of Peace is this. The one who removes all peace-disturbing factors and secures the peace. I love the way it says this. When we allow Christ in us, here's what he'll go to work on. He will remove all of the peace-disturbing factors in my life if I give him that opportunity, so that there can be a greater measure or sense of peace in my life. He is the Prince of Peace. John 14, Jesus said this, "Peace I leave with you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Don't let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid." In other words, the Prince of Peace wants to step into our lives and help remove, overcome, defeat those things that disturb our peace. He's the Prince of Peace and rules over that. There was a contest in a local village who could paint the best picture of peace. And so all these artists came out and they painted these majestic scenes of a lake and the stillness, and it was just absolutely beautiful. And they had all these different pictures of peace. But then they finally chose the one that they thought best represented peace, and here's a picture of it. It was not that there was an absence of turmoil or storm or chaos, but it was a bird that was perched in the presence of the rushing waterfall, and that's what true peace is. It's not that life is void of chaos and struggle and confusion around us. It's when we have peace in the midst of the chaos, the struggle, and the confusion. Jesus said, "My peace I give to you." You know, one of the marvelous things about the faith journey in 2022 is this. There's wars going on. There's earthquakes in California. That happened. There's violence in America. I mean, you listen to the news or you read the paper. We live in a very confused world. But listen, you're the bird. And you have peace even though that stuff is happening. I tell you, that is a treasure. That's something money can't buy. That if you're sitting here today and you have peace in your life, even though the what's going on in the world around us is just nuts, let me tell you, that's what the peace, the Prince of Peace, wants to give us as his child in the midst of a world that is spiraling out of control. So five names of Jesus on this Christmas morning. Let me just review them. Wonderful. Ask God to create a sense of awe in your life going forward in 2023. Number two, his name is Counselor. He gives wisdom and guidance, and he knows where to tinker in our lives to get the generator going again. Number three, he controls the storms of life. He knows the stars by name, and he knows the storms of our life by name, and he can either change the circumstances or he'll change us going through it. But he says he'll be a mighty God that's powerful in us if we allow him to. Number four, he's a refuge. He's the everlasting Father. You may be here today and it's been a hard month of December. And what he wants to do for you today is for you to climb into his lap and just let him be a refuge to you. Just sit there on this Christmas day and let him love you. And finally, number five, he's the Prince of Peace. He's the one who can remove and help remove all of the peace-disturbing things in our life when we surrender ourselves to him. And we can know peace like the bird in the midst of the storm. Here's my final slide. Allow him to be that to you today. I want you to take these thoughts on this Christmas morning. And Isaiah said his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. Allow him to be that to you today. Let's bow for prayer. Heavenly Father, we bow and we just worship you on Christmas morning. We're in your house. We're celebrating the truth, the foundation of our faith, that you sent your son Jesus to live among us, to show us who you were. And today we are here just to thank you that we can serve one who is called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. I pray for every person here today. Whatever the need is in their life, that they will allow you to be those names, those titles, those roles in their life today. And may today be a feast, not just of food and the amazing things that we'll partake of, but may this verse, may these titles, may these truths be a feast in a different way in our hearts, because you want to be those things to us through Christ. Father, we just celebrate and we thank you. We worship you that Emmanuel, God with us, God is for us, and you want to be that to us. And this will give you thanks. In Jesus' name, amen.